Time and time again, I am in awe of a woman's resilience. How she can take back her heart and home, even when it's burned down again and again. Courtney Peppernell. Welcome to Savory Passage, the podcast, featuring Savory Living Lights, a segment that details everyday heroes. Today's guest is here to shine the light on her podcast that gives women a platform and a voice. Here's your host, Sandra Jones.
Hello and welcome. This week we have the host of Brave New Women, hosted by Cecilia Poyon. To borrow her description, that is, it's a podcast that helps to change the way women are perceived while inspiring all others to do what they want to do. I added empowering us all to go after our dreams. Welcome, everyone, and welcome, Cecilia. We are excited to have you with us. I'd like to get started by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, to share your journey of how you arrived at this time and this place, from education and training to starting the podcast for women. So without further ado, Cecilia.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sandra. I mean, I'm thrilled to be connecting with you and to be on the podcast. Well, that's a big question. I mean, I've just turned 54, so you know a lot of things has happened in 54 years. I was born in Sydney, in Australia, and I went to school in Sydney. I went to university. I studied arts law, majoring in English. And then as soon as I'd finished my studies, I came overseas, and I thought I was going to come overseas for maybe 18 months, and it's ended up being more like 30 years.
Wow.
I was working, well, first of all, I learned French. So I was learning French in a university in the south of France, in Grenoble. And then I was working in a law firm in London, one of the big international law firms. And while I was in London, I met my husband. So he's French. So we were sitting on the plane next to each other between London and Paris.
Okay, interesting.
And he was working in the northeast of England in Newcastle upon Tyne. So I went up there to join him. And then I worked at the Newcastle Law Centre with people who were really, people who are on unemployment benefits, very low unemployment, the poor parts of Newcastle. So that was a real eye-opener for me. Then we went back to Sydney for a couple of years. I went back into one of the big law firms. At this stage, my experience of being a lawyer was difficult. I felt like it was just a struggle all the time. I really didn't enjoy it at all, actually, either at the law firm or when I was in the bigger law firms. After a couple of years in Sydney, my husband found it. He was an engineer in research and development, and there's not much research and development in Sydney. And so we came back to Paris, and I started working at Société Générale, one of the big French banks, still in a legal capacity.
Okay.
Did that for a while, then went into an American law firm, and then moved again to another big French bank, which is where I am now. And all this time I was conscientious, I was doing what I needed to be doing. But the whole time I was thinking, is this really all that there is? And is this, there was one part of me was saying, why isn't my career going anywhere? Why am I just staying at the same level? Aren't I getting promotions? And getting really frustrated with with my career. And then eventually I was trying different things. Like I became a mediator at work. And so that, you know, that sort of satisfied me for a little while.
Made it a little more interesting.
Yeah, more interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I started working with a Gestalt therapist.
Oh.
And so Gestalt therapy it's a sort of therapy that's very creative. So it's a lot of using a lot of imagination, a lot of creativity, a lot about, you know, where are your emotions? Where are you emotionally right this second? What are you feeling right now? And then what do you need? And so I started working with a fabulous Gestalt therapist, and she made me see that, in fact, I was a creative. And, I was much more interested in being creative than I was in the job that I was doing. And that the reason my career wasn't going anywhere was because...
you weren't tapping into that side of your brain.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that when I was looking at other jobs in the bank, it was like, well, I don't want to do that. There actually wasn't, it was coming from me, the lack of, moving up the hierarchy. I just didn't want to do it.
Okay.
And so from there, I started, she got me to take a piece of paper and write down everything that I would, that would be an ideal career for me. So I wrote down a whole lot of different stuff on the piece of paper, and then she said, okay, we'll just pick one. And so I went, I don't know, writing. And she said, okay, well, let's start with that. And then she sent me off to a 3-day writing course, like an introductory writing course. And I just loved it. I just loved it. And it was just, I was on a high the whole time, and it just felt so right. And then the sort of feedback I was getting too was, this is just obviously what you need to do.
And let me ask you this. Before that, you never picked up pen or pencil and wrote down, just jotted down your thoughts, let's say maybe even as a teenager, journaling or anything like that? You never tried it, or you didn't expound upon it?
I've always read, a huge amount, really, really a lot. I remember once on Facebook, there was something that said, these are the 100 books that you should have read. And other people were saying, I've read 6, and I'd read like 91 of them. So I'm a really big reader.
Okay.
And when I was a child, I used to write a lot. And, I majored in English. So, and then recently I connected up with somebody who I went to school with, who actually became a writer. And it was like, well, I didn't know that that existed. being able to actually have a proper paying career as a writer, I'd always heard the narrative that, being a writer meant that you're going to be impoverished for the rest of your life.
So, right.
So when I was a child, yeah, I had written and I loved it. But then it just, gradually drifted away.
It lied dormant.
Yeah.
It never goes away. It just keeps, eventually it would have tapped you on the shoulder and said, you would have found yourself engrossed in writing. I say, like you, it's amazing how our paths are a little bit similar, different professions, but just not really excited about what you were doing. And I was a nurse. They say you're always a nurse, but it really wasn't what I wanted to do until I got into the business side of healthcare. But writing was always my thing. So it's amazing what technology can do as far as bringing people together. You, Australia, Paris, me here in the States. It's just interesting. So since this is about you, I'm not going to, you know, I just wanted to juxtapose how women feel about changing careers and lead into some more of the interesting tidbits that you'd like to tell us about. Talk about stepping out. So you got the writing. There are a couple of other things that you would like to share with the audience that interest you and you're good at.
Sure. Well, a few things. The other thing that I'd been doing for a long time, when I was a child, I played the piano a lot. I really enjoyed that. And then when I was working in London, I didn't have a piano. And I went to, with my brother was living in London at the time, and he had a flatmate. And so we went to a choir together. And she was taking lessons from the choir master, singing lessons. And one day she said to me, "Oh, I can't go to my singing lesson on Saturday. Do you want to go?" So I said, Oh yeah. Well, why not? And so I went, this was in 1990. So I went around and started singing, and I haven't really ever stopped. So, I've been taking, you know, classical singing lessons now for like 30 years and done some solo stuff and some, you know, duets and
putting on concerts. Have you recorded?
No.
Just live? You do live performances? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other thing that I've been, that's been happening is that, you know, with the Gestalt therapy, I was doing initially individual Gestalt therapy, and then I started with a group. And so we meet up once a month, and it's for a whole day, and it's very intense. I mean, it is absolutely life-changing. I mean, it is fabulous. Very emotional, very creative, and I've seen people just change, you know, so much over that time. And so, you know, at this, you know, a few years ago, I was still working. I was doing my singing. I was doing my writing. I was doing my mediation. And I was still, it still wasn't where I wanted to be. And so I started thinking about, well, how can I bring all that extracurricular stuff together? And then I started, so a couple of years ago, I started my company as a coach. And out of that came, a very strong desire to become a coach specifically for women. And it's not because I have anything particular against men. It's just that I understand what it's like to be a woman. I understand what it's like to be a woman in corporate. And I understand what it's like not to be speaking up and to be very perfectionist about things and to let people speak over you and not to be asking for salary raises and not to be pushing for a career change. I know, you know, I really understand all of that, which is why I want to work with women. And I also want to work with women because I feel that we've got a different way of speaking and things that are slightly, you know, different things that are interesting to us than for men, that we've got a way of speaking that's more about community and about nurturing and about bringing people together. And I think at this stage in history, we need that, you know, so much.
And thinking, would you agree that we think differently than men?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I agree. But I think that what we need is different from what men need.
That's very true. And I think they still don't understand us, despite that book years ago, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. So yeah. So you started talking about the corporate world and the way women fit in. And let's talk barriers, because in many ways, it is still a man's world. Women are breaking glass ceilings left and right. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris. But you're right. We need a foot in the door. We need to encourage more women to shine. And that's why you're here. That's where you're going, your path.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the podcast is part of that. So it's part of, I mean, what I want to do in my coaching, what I am doing in my coaching is helping women have more confidence, because I think there's a real issue with confidence. So I was at, doing a webinar in a law firm a couple of weeks ago about women being interrupted in meetings. And I said, you know, how often are you interrupted in meetings? And they all said, oh, no, that hardly ever happens to us. But it turned out that the reason it didn't happen was because they were, in fact, not speaking up. They weren't even getting to the stage where they could be interrupted because they weren't, you know, speaking up. And it turns out that it actually was an issue for them. So that's part of my work, is then giving women confidence to say, okay, well, in fact, what you want is legitimate. What you need is legitimate. And if you can be concentrated on what you need and saying, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. And so you, the rest of the world, you can do what you like, but just know that I am going to do this. That gives you enormous power. And so I teach the women that I work with, I teach them to how to have that sort of power. And then what I would like is for them to be then speaking up more in the workplaces, in their communities. And then that's part of the podcast as well, because then it's a place where my clients and other women can be speaking up and saying, listen, these are the things that are important to us. I've got a lot of women on the podcast who are talking about climate change, who are very, very involved in climate change. People who've been, you know, a woman who's been an environmental activist since the early 90s. And she says, when I first started, I was saving trees, and now I find that, you know, it's just the whole scale of things is blown out. Now I'm having to save the world.
Okay. Interesting. I was going to ask you, I know that it's, well, before I go on to the next question I wanted to ask, that what you describe sounds a lot like what we talk about here in the States as imposter syndrome, where women don't feel that they, do I truly belong here in this environment? Am I good enough? And even myself, most of my life, I was very shy and not speaking up. And I find that all of a sudden, it just, like a volcano, erupted. So give me a little bit of information about some of the women who have experienced these changes.
Sure. Well, one woman I was working with more on public speaking. And so we were doing a lot of work on play. You know, we were playing a lot.
Okay.
And so I was getting her to do things like, you know, saying her speech, walking around the room extremely fast, or to get a lot, you know, to get the energy going, or to be doing it as if she was a gorilla, you know, saying a speech as if she was a gorilla. Or at one stage she was imitating a French politician. And the change in her when she did that was just remarkable, because I was able to slot into her child and say, you know, maybe this is, you know, we're all just taking all this too seriously. Mm. Maybe if we just play a little bit, then that'll access a different part of you. And her energy level just went way up, way up. The other way I work too on people's voices is I work a lot with anger.
Oh.
And I get people to really get angry, and then the volume in their voice just, you know, doubles or triples when you get people to get angry. And then they realize that you then get them unangry again, and that you realize that they're using, you know, when they're angry, people are using their whole body, and their voice is really coming from, you know, the depths of their being. So it's
okay. So then they learn how to use that sound without the anger tones.
Exactly. Okay. Using the energy of anger without being angry. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. I guess I get it.
Yeah. And then there's another example was someone I was working with on confidence. So someone who was just such an incredible example of how there's our image and then there's what we think of ourselves. And there's often such a huge gap between those two. And we often have such a negative self-image. And then people on the outside are saying, well, you know, why do you think that? That's just not what I see. And so a lot of work with her on, she had very low self-confidence. And she was fantastic, you know, fantastic person who was intelligent, who loved her job. And so I managed with my work with her, she was no longer sick. She'd been sick a lot. So she was no longer sick. She was getting a lot of headaches. The headaches went away. She was terrified of asking for a raise. So I worked with her for 6 months until she was finally able to ask for a raise. And when she asked for it, they in her workplace, they said, well, of course. Yeah, obviously.
Just like that.
Of course. Yeah, of course you. And then she was even made a hero of her workplace. She was nominated as hero of her workplace.
Okay.
Fantastic.
So you've talked to some interesting women. Before our conversation, we touched on this a little bit. And I guess, what's the difference between your listening audience and the women that you actually work with and interview for the podcast, that is?
Well, I don't actually know who listens to my podcast.
Oh, so. Okay. What's your target audience? Let's go that way then.
Sure. The women that I'm working with as a coach tend to be women who are in corporate or who have been in corporate, or women who've had some sort of professional role.
Okay.
Women who are often very perfectionist, who've done well but don't feel as though they've done well. That sort of woman is the sort of woman I tend to be working with as a coach. The women I've been interviewing for the podcast, a lot of different types of women. I've been trying to speak to women all over the world. I've got a lot of Australians. I've got some people in the US. We're setting up interviews at the moment with some women in Latin America. So okay. Women who've been working in national parks in Latin America, because they just have it so tough. I've just launched today an interview with a woman who works with women who are victims of violence.
Oh,
an amazing woman who is just, she's a volunteer, but she does it full time. And she's working in a small town in the south of France. There were three of them. They're dealing at any one time, they're dealing with 30 women who are victims of violence. And she's just, I am just so impressed with her, just so impressed with someone who lives so much by their values.
And you wonder where they get the strength.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And I asked her how she dealt with living in that all the time. And she said, well, the way she deals with it is by teaching. So she does a lot of teaching other people who want to help women who are victims of violence. And so she feels that she's, you know, useful.
She's okay. Good. More or less paying it forward, just helping people step up when they need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. other women, a woman who was she's a doctor for the Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islanders in Australia. Another fantastic woman who, I mean, she said that her doctor friends, I mean, the Aboriginals and Torres Strait Islanders, they don't get it easy. I mean, you know, they have a pretty tough time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had doctor friends who said to her, oh, couldn't you get anything better?
And it's a helping profession.
Yeah, exactly.
I only want to help a certain type.
Yeah, exactly. And her response to that was, you know, I find it's an honor for me to work with these people, which I just thought was such a wonderful response.
And it takes a special kind of person to do that. You have to be caring and empathetic and just a desire to help.
Exactly, yeah. And she also said that she was confronted by her own racism and she had to then deal with her own racism, which she didn't know that she had, and then deconstruct that. So it was a journey for her too.
Well, as you know, here in the States, we're going through a lot of that where people don't realize that they have some prejudices and some racism. And, you know, some of it is you carry what you're exposed to and what you've some of it is innate that you don't know about. Mm. And you have to check yourself. But the hardest thing for some people to do is to acknowledge that there are some places within each of us that we don't like. But you have to have the strength and the desire to change. So I can understand what she's going through, but that is just rampant here in the States these days. There's half of the people who hate and half of the people who don't understand the hate. So,
Absolutely.
So you've told us a little bit about the women. In an effort to begin wrapping up, what is the takeaway that you want? In other words, what would you like people to know about you and savor and bring them back to your podcast?
That's an interesting question.
Oh, thank you.
All your questions have been interesting. I think perhaps what I would like to say is when I was a little girl, I was so shy. You know, I was really shy. And I found life just difficult and bemusing. And I didn't know how to get what I wanted. And things didn't go the way I liked. And I had found it difficult to make friends. And I spent a lot of my time with my nose in a book. And it was just, you know, it was just hard. It was just, I was just shy. And then my journey has been a process of working out who I am and what I want and what I can give, where I can give the most, what I love doing, what just makes me, fills me with joy. And as part of the Gestalt therapy, I've also learned that, in fact, I'm a leader, which I didn't expect. I really didn't expect. And so I suppose my message for people is, if somebody like me who started off so shy and so introverted, if I can be setting up a podcast and going out and coaching and talking on other people's podcasts, and I did a one-woman show a couple of years ago, which I wrote and I acted in, and there were, I marketed it. There were over 100 people in the audience. They paid.
They paid. That's the important thing. Yes.
They even paid me to come and see me. My message would be, if I can do it, well, damn it. You know, anybody can do it. You really can. They really can.
That is.
And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry. And an additional message to that is, I mean, that's especially for women. You know, women, this is a special message for women. If I can do it, you can do it. You really can.
That's a great takeaway. And I think it's something that will resonate with the listeners. I want them to know that we're going to put your podcast link, your contact information, all of that will be available on our show notes on the webpage. And there'll be instructions for how to access all of that. But I can tell that you are special. You know that sometimes, as you said, it's hard for us to see ourselves the way other people see us. But what is enlightening and both empowering for me is you coming into the realization that you may not sound cocky when you say it, but you are a leader, and the enthusiasm with which you said that. But you don't want to just bottle it. You want to share that with other people. And that is a sisterhood that it's not unimaginable. It's something that we should be striving to do, not knocking each other down, no matter where we come from. As I said, with technology, you there, me here, and we're reaching across the bridge for just to help each other and to help others. So I hope that the listeners will reach out, even if it's only to chat with you or listen to your podcast, because I think my line is, I have something to say. Not only do you have something to say, but you're sharing that with anyone within ear listening distance. And I want to thank you for being here, for taking this time for me. There's an 8-hour time difference, folks. So be grateful that Cecilia chose to share her time with us. And Cecilia, again, I really appreciate you being here.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much, Sandra.
This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. For show notes or available resources, please visit our website at www.savorypassage.com. If you're interested in being a guest on our show or pose questions, please contact us at hello@savorypassage.com. And don't forget to send in your feedback wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time.